Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, I'm Bonnie Burkert, and this is Truth Be Told, Transformation, bringing you tools to help you transform your life to live your highest truth. So today, I think it's going to be really interesting to talk to dating and relationship coach Leanne Lazar. So Leanne, I'm welcoming you to the Truth Be Told, Transformation studio.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Bonnie.
So we titled the show, Manifesting Your Person. Okay, so now on first glance, that could be an interesting way to phrase manifesting, you know, your soulmate or whatever. So I like that we called it your person because it means your perfect person. But I think at the same time, we're also talking about ourselves. So I really wanted to kind of discuss it in that way because, again, we're looking for tools here to help people feel their best and be their best and live their highest. So when you're first working with a client, what's some initial guidance you give them?
I really love that you brought it back to focusing on yourself because that's actually where I start with clients. Most clients come and they are seeking things really outside of themselves. They're in a dating cycle. They are maybe in a relationship that isn't working. And it's truly a recalibration energetically of what they are at that moment, who they are right now, not specifically. I feel like they're not connected to themselves. So I really start with them. We gain clarity on what they're really looking for, what they want in their life. And a lot of people have a concept and of dating, and they start dating maybe later in life with ideas and patterns of what they learned and did when they were much younger. So it doesn't really serve them as often. So we really start with the self and getting really clear on what you want and why.
Okay, so how do you do that? Now, I know one of the things I want to bring in is I really like working with the energetics, and I know that's one of the terms that we use. And I'm a big believer in that on a lot of levels. And that could be very physical. It doesn't have to be metaphysical. It can be very physical. So before Leanne and I sat down, we were doing some gentle movement in a yoga kind of way and just kind of letting go of too much computer and sitting. So when you're with somebody, and I believe right now a lot of the coaching you're doing is probably digital, right? Like yes. Phone or Zooming or whatnot. So how do you get, if you're not with somebody, how do you get them to calm down and tune in with themselves first before maybe telling their story?
We do a meditation.
Okay.
So generally when I'm working with someone, you're right, it is usually on Zoom or it's over the phone. I am just starting to see clients in person, some that want to, you know, be in person, but it's tapping in and dropping into your body. We live so cerebrally.
Yes, cerebral.
Yeah. I can't say the word. But in our heads so much, and we're just focused in that way. So just coming out of your brain and settling into your body and sort of getting comfortable with yourself. Mm. So we'll do a meditation and then we start really from there.
All right. Do you want to share a little bit about the meditation?
Sure.
Okay, please.
Yes. Do you want to do it?
Yes, I would love to be taken through the meditation.
So. Okay. Yeah, let's go through the meditation. So we close our eyes. And even if we're on Zoom, we close our eyes. And then we just take a deep breath in through our nose, out through our mouth. Three times. And then we start to, when we take our next breath, bring it all the way through our body and start to feel our butt on the seat, the weight of it, our legs, if we're sitting in a chair, all the way out to where it touches our legs. Next breath, you're breathing in, going all the way down to your feet, feeling your feet on the floor, grounding. So with every breath, you're just starting to feel where you are in the moment. Your feet on the ground, your legs and your bottom on the chair, your back against the chair, your hands, maybe they're on your lap, maybe they are, you know, sitting next to you. And just feel where you are, drop in. I can actually tell right now my voice has dropped down. I'm more centered. And then when you feel a few more breaths, a little more calm, a little more settled, and you feel physically where you are, then we open our eyes and we start from there.
Mm. Wow, what a shift. Yeah. Thank you. I think I needed it even just to talk to you.
That's great.
So it's very interesting, the whole subject of relationships. And you and I will probably do a session sometime. We're not, this is not for, you know, YouTube and public consumption. I'm going to go kind of broad and ask you about the concept of soulmates.
Mm.
So what's your thought on that?
I love the concept of soulmates. I actually think we have multiple soulmates in our lives. They come in, I believe, at different times in our life. I believe that we're all connected. So there are souls that when you move through maybe an energetic breakthrough or you've come through sort of an awakening of some sort in your life, it sort of shifts energy so that those energies that maybe were surrounding you or maybe thinking about you start to come in. And so, you know, what I really love about working with people around dating and relationships is we have these sort of social and cultural ideas about how to meet people and how we're supposed to interact. And so breaking down those sort of facades and really the masks, because we all wear masks in so many levels now, breaking that down and actually getting to the core of who you are so that you can allow those energies and those people that have been circling you to kind of come in and be ready for what that conversation will look like, what that relationship may look like, or just a friendship.
Yeah, that's really great. That feels good. And I love that you're bringing it back to, you know, putting the onus on us a little bit to, it's almost self-love. I mean, that sounds a little bit, I don't want to say it's almost self-love. It is self-love. The reason I put that little sort of disqualifier in there is because it sounds a little cliche. And I'm sorry if there's any weird charge around that. There shouldn't be.
Agreed.
But I really want this to also speak to the men in our audience. And I'm very pleased that you've got male clients. I noticed on your website that you had some, you know, wonderful reviews from male clients as well as women. So I'm happy to see that men are looking at this as well, because I know I come probably role models, fathers, grandfathers, even to an extent brothers. I don't think that they're, you know, the proverbial looking under the hood.
Yes.
And I feel like things are really changing, that people men and women are both looking, and I'm very, very encouraged by that. So going back to the soulmate conversation, the reason I one of the things I kind of look at with that is I think that maybe I'm a big believer that if you charge yourself energetically, so like the aura, right? And just what we did, the calming, the centering, I do think that things fall your way. And that could be your mate, or it could be the perfect job, house, car, travel opportunity. I don't know. Parking spot. Right? So what's been your experience with that? Because I know that you've gone through the hills and valleys, as we all have. So what's your experience? Because I see you as very poised and together and getting your way. So tell me what your experience is in life that it does fall into place.
Thank you for that. Yes. Thank you for saying I'm poised. And there is a centeredness to how I show up in the world. And that is through just being aware of my thoughts and my mind and my consciousness and the practices that I do that are centered around meditation and yoga and just getting centered and grounded. And there's a lot of people that do that, that kind of, you know, go into that space. But what I found for myself, I've had a very, you know, journey in life. I have a couple of children who I adore. I have an ex-husband, so that tells you a little bit of my journey. And I feel that at times in my life when I've been not trusting my intuition, I've been very focused outwardly. There's resistance and there's pushing to get what you want. And I think that's how a lot of us sort of live, because we think if we push harder and we work harder, then we're going to make it. And there's nothing to say that that doesn't work for people, but it may not work for the things that you actually want. So I found that I did go through a divorce almost 4 years ago now, which was very devastating and very shifting. And very transformational. So it was sort of like the death of one side, of one person that I was, and the birth of another. And with that, I completely embraced going inward, reading about my auras, like doing chakra meditations. Mine really were centered around my voice. I wasn't using my voice to get what I truly, well, not to get what I want, but to say what I wanted. And communication, I was very pleasing in my life, which a lot of women are. Yeah. Some men are too, but mostly women. And so for me, when I really started to tap in and embody my own voice, understand what that was, get clear about what I really wanted, my entire life shifted. I started my coaching business. I stepped into business coaching with an opportunity. So coaching and impact and my purpose, when I really honed in on that, everything started really coming to me.
Brilliant. Okay. Take heed, everybody. It's there for you too. No, I really like that. There's this old adage. I don't know where I came across this, probably on like a tea towel or something like that. Everybody's in your life for a season, a reason, or a lifetime. Mm-hmm. So when you encounter when you're working with people, do you, and they describe their stories, their relationship history, do you guide them with information like that? I mean, perhaps we learn from people. For that's where the soulmate part comes in for me, because like you say, we have multiple. So maybe we learn from people for a certain amount of time, and then we've got to go.
Well, I think it's interesting the way that you're saying soulmate. You know, I think most people think soulmate is the person that you are with forever. And I don't necessarily think that's true. I think that for some people that's true, but I do actually think that, you know, my ex-husband is one of my soulmates for sure. He will be in my life forever. We have children together. Energetically, we are always in each other's energies, you know? So I don't think that because we got divorced that we're not soulmates. It's just our relationship shifted and changed, and it actually grew and has become so much more expansive than I think we were actually able to get to, you know, in our marriage container. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. It's great for you to understand that and feel that. So working with people, and only because I know I advise friends, I'm a Pisces, and that people say that Pisces are the ones that everybody cries on their shoulder. And so I advise a lot of friends. I find that I have some people, when I'm talking to them about relationships, that they're very invested in their story.
Oh, yeah.
So how do you, and I know it's got to be case by case, but how do you deal with people that are just, they can't hear you? Now, this is a very general coaching question, but let's apply it to relationships because people get very stuck.
I'm so glad that you said that because I generally, if someone, say I have a consultation with someone and they don't see or are not ready to commit to making changes and doing the work, I don't work with them. Oh. So, you know, there's a ton of free content out there. I have a lot of free content. You can tap into it. You can consume it. But to actually work with me and people that I find to be a fit are people that are ready to take suggestions. They're ready to take action. And they are ready for a different result in their life.
Well, that's good advice. I mean, only because I'm hearing that and I'm thinking I work with a lot of artists. And I feel that I probably could put up similar boundaries and do sometimes if they're not quite ready to hear you and open and change. I want to bounce something else off of you in terms of attraction, okay? Because again, I'm trying to bring with this podcast, with the show, I'm trying to bring ideas and to amplify our energy and raise our consciousness. So there's a really great book called Mama Gina's Guide to the Womanly Arts. And have you ever heard this book?
I haven't.
And you should find it. And one of her lines is, if you party, he will come. And it's not meant about partying as in, you know, glug glug, you know, cheers, that kind of partying. It's more about being lovely. So I just wanted to share with you, I think, a really good quote. And I will write the name of the author in the YouTube link on our comments if anybody's interested in seeing what I'm talking about. But you're out in the dating world again, too. How do you find that supplies? I mean, sometimes you just don't even have to look. You just have to show up like you're having the best time. And then things, and that is attractive right there.
I love it. I think people are attracted to people energetically more so than they are physically initially. I think in their brain, they go, oh, that person is so attractive, or I really want to get to know them, because I think there's an energy that they're feeling from that person. When you are feeling good about yourself, you're feeling, you know, maybe accomplished or cute that day or sexy or just embodying the energy that you are, that radiates. It's like, I love this description. So I have a mastermind coach that she says, energy can be like bad BO. When you have bad energy, it's just around. You don't go near them, right? You can't really put your finger on it, but it's so true. So really understanding you, and maybe you're quirky. Maybe you're, you know, a little dorky. Maybe you are super you know, sporty or whatever, just be who you are, embody who you are, you know, balance it out with the things that you like, because the people that are attracted to that will be attracted to you no matter where you are. You could be the grocery store. I have so many people that meet people at the grocery store, especially on Ralph's over on Ventura. But
good to know.
But just, it can be anywhere. And I feel like sometimes when your guard is down, when you're not like on, I think your energy is coming through in a more authentic way. And that's why some people are, I mean, we hear it all the time. We met and I wasn't even looking. Or we met and it was a blind date and somebody set us up and I didn't know. So you weren't really expecting it because we weren't putting on those masks. We were letting that energy come out.
That's big. That's big. You hear that, everybody? I mean, again, just be your best you.
Mm-hmm.
And don't push it. I mean, just don't force it. I think there's that martial arts adage, what you push, what you push for, you also push away.
Against. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're pushing against something.
Yeah. So I think that that's fascinating. And I mean, again, this is almost alchemical to get people to change. Mm-hmm. What do we do? I love the grocery store thing because I say the same thing. You know, I walk around like Whole Foods Venice. Hello. You always got to wear a cute outfit when you go to, you never know.
You never know.
You never, if you party, he will come. That, you know, so look your best. But what do we do in this, we're taping November 2021. What do you do with these masks? We can't smile at people. I mean, you can only bat your eyelashes so well if they're not looking.
Well,
so the smile, we're taking the smile factor out.
We're taking the smile factor out, but the eyes are the window to the soul.
True. I love that saying.
That is a saying that we all have heard, and I think it's really true. It actually gives you an opportunity to connect visually because that's all you can see is each other's eyes initially, right?
Right.
You're not looking at their smile. You're not, you know, you're really just connected. So I think that, yeah, I think just looking at each other's eyes initially, I think any time that I've ever noticed someone or, you know, you always catch eyes with them first. So I don't really think the masks are a deterrent.
Okay. They don't have to be. All right. So don't be scared to look, everyone. Right?
Yeah.
You have, it's true.
Put those lashes on.
Yeah. Right. A little more eyeshadow, you know, lipstick, who cares? It's all about the eyeshadow right now. But that's really great. And we should, because I do feel that I'm Midwestern, and I was brought up with, especially my mom, she very, very friendly. So we're chatters. I mean, we chat with everybody. I love that cereal or something like that in the grocery store aisles. And I think right now I have found myself with wearing this mask is that I'm maybe a little less inclined towards that pleasant quip. Mm-hmm. So I feel that what I'm hearing here is to, if you're out there looking, to look, pay attention, and still be pleasant, right? We need to do that. Let's not shut off from each other. This is generally speaking, this isn't just romance. This is something that we all need for each other.
Yeah.
And I feel like we need for even for our workers and things like that. So
yeah, well, and think about everyone's coming out of this wave of isolation.
Yes. I think we have to get back into practice in a way.
You really do. Get out there, you know. Go to the grocery store in your cute outfit, you know. Go with your best mask on, you know, that's cute and pretty.
The sparkle mask.
The sparkle mask, you know, the one with that's tie-dye with a great little print on the side. do it. Get out there, you know. Don't hide any longer. Don't use the mask as a barrier or a reason not to go or not to speak. I'm from the East Coast too, and I'm from the South. So it is, you know, you talk to everybody, their babies, their sisters, you know, about everything. So I think, yeah, get out there, start talking to people because you just never know. You never know if you're going to meet that person, if they might say one thing, that one liner, and you're, oh my gosh, I was literally just thinking about that. And I also think too, we've been alone probably the most in our lives in the last, because of, you know, lockdowns and all of those things. And I think maybe a lot of people did go a little more inward. So, you know, they might know themselves a little bit better, and the intimidation of being their true self and being vulnerable can be a little intimidating too. But just know that everyone's in that position.
That's, you know, a good point.
Don't make it that, I think, you know, oh, well, if I show up like this, how are they going to show up? They're going to show up the same way. Everyone is feeling vulnerable. Everyone is just getting out there again, so to, you know, in mass. And then we're just coming up to a new year. And I think that, you know, this is going to be, I think it's going to be a big year. What everyone thought 2020 was going to be, I think, is what 2022 is going to be for people.
Oh, great. I appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you. I'll take that.
Okay.
That feels good. So, again, talking about the strange lockdown time that that we've been in, tell me a little bit about what your experience is working with people online versus in person. Just curious how that works. Again, we're using the word energetically, the connection with people, how they hear you, and how they express themselves.
I don't think it's been a negative, I will say that. I think what has been interesting, I mean, I work anyway, I've always worked via Zoom or via on, you know, over the phone. So I didn't really have people that I saw in person. So for me, it wasn't a huge stretch, but I think it gave people the window to the world, so to speak. They were able to connect. They were able to be comfortable in their own space. And this is what I find when I do work with people, and this is why I like working on Zoom and, or over the phone, generally Zoom, is you're comfortable. You're in your space. You're able to be more vulnerable. You're able to really talk about things because, you know, you're in your safe space. You know, you've created that comfort where you feel like, you know, because that's what a coach is. We're holding space for you to sort of grow and blossom and discover things. So for me, I think clients really blossomed. I think it gave them something to look forward to, a connection outside of their immediate space, but it kept them engaged and being able to kind of reach their arm out, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, that's good to hear. I'm glad to hear. And I'm sure that in person, there's probably, I mean, there's nothing like it. I mean, the sound of each other's voice and just that read. So I understand that. And yet we are very fortunate to have the technology that we do to connect and with everyone. So let's talk about the changing roles of men and women in the dating world. Now, this could be even a conversation about different generations. Mm-hmm. So what's your experience? What are you seeing out there? How are things changing?
I'm glad you asked that because I'm actually hosting a co-hosting an event next week on the 11th, and it's embodying your masculine and feminine energy and embracing it to be more attractive.
Cool.
So I do think that the roles are, they're shifting a lot. And for people that are, I would say, probably over 40, which I am, we're sort of in this, I think the generation of 40 to 50 year olds are sort of in this middle zone. We know what it was like from what we learned from our parents and what we really actually did in person dating without cell phones, without social media and things like that. And then we're bridged between everyone and everyone that we're dating or, you know, me coaching. So there's sort of, it's interesting. I think that, I think more men are opening up and being more vulnerable and embodying and embracing, you know, a little bit. They don't have to be so masculine all the time. They don't have to put this facade of being the things that they were taught to be or that men stereotypically have been, because women now, you know, we are career driven, we are self-sufficient, you know, our needs in a relationship have shifted very dramatically, I think, in probably the last 10 to 15 years, because your idea of a relationship and a man is a little bit more balanced in the masculine and feminine. You know, they have the vulnerable side where they can hold space for you, they can support you, but then they can also take on those action roles and those action items that kind of live in the masculine side. And conversely, with females, I think females are a little bit more moving towards being a lot more balanced because they have a career, but we still have this nurturing, very gentle side. And I think there's more women out there like that. And just pairing that together and embodying, and it doesn't mean that it's necessarily androgynous, but there's a lot of different types of relationships. There's, you know, male and female, 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 male, male, and that's so much more open and welcomed, and it's beautiful. Because I feel like more people are tapping into that energetic side and not just physically what that other person is. I think people are much more open to it.
Yeah. No, it's great. I mean, I would say there's a big change in that way. I talk to some friends. I don't have any children myself to know firsthand, but I hear from some that they're kids that are more, that are, I'd say, early 20s, maybe mid 20s. It seems like they're not dating in the same way. So, I mean, do you feel that? I mean, I think it definitely speaks to kind of what you were describing. And there is the dating app aspect to all of this. And I don't know. I mean, what do you think about it in terms of younger people and forecasting what the next generation is going to be like? I mean,
yeah, I mean, I think it that generation, the younger generation in your 20s, that's how they're learning initially how to date. Whereas people in their 30s, 40s, and 50s who know how to date one-on-one in person are then shifting to this other model that is, it's kind of foreign, but people are doing it. My opinion is that the dating apps give you a lot of choices. And when you are raised on social media, there's an instant gratification that comes with a click, and your value and your sense of self is sort of based off of that likability, how many people you're talking to. But the underside of that belly is not making a decision, playing the field too much.
Right.
And I don't say too much, but having too many options and then not allowing, giving that person or that relationship an opportunity to sort of grow and shift. If some one or two things don't match up or don't work out, it's like, I'm on to the next. Or I'm dating multiple people and I got to see what really fits. And I don't think dating multiple people is bad, but there has to be a point where you make a decision. So I think the younger generation, and it's kind of definitely bleeding over, I think, into the older populations of people, is just not making a decision, not being very clear, which is where I go back to, what is it that you're looking for? And just because you're committed to somebody for a period of time doesn't mean that, you know, eternity you're chained together. You know, you don't have to do that, but you just give each other the respect and the relationship, the respect, whether you're dating for a few months or you enter into a relationship after a few months and you're in a relationship for a few years, you know, respect that. You know, give that container and that relationship an opportunity to have the vulnerability in a safe place and support and just get to know each other on a deeper level. I think that's missing.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's got to be, I mean, there's just a lot of choices. I wonder, it would be interesting to look at statistics to see over time. It's too soon after the pandemic, but is this changing the number of people that are getting married and at what point? So they always say that things skip a generation. So they said that Gen X were, Gen X were latchkey kids because their parents were, you know, probably dual income households. So Gen X went a little more traditional because their parents were less traditional. A lot of divorce and things like that. So it's going to be very interesting to see where this all goes, and hopefully in a good way. I mean, I'm optimistic, and yet I am a little concerned about the social skills and people. I mean, I just saw a statistic on the news this week that kids, they didn't say the age, spend 8 hours a day on their phones. And that doesn't include any schoolwork that they may have to do. And it's phones, it's digital, it's not just phones. But that doesn't even include the schoolwork that they have to do online as well. I mean, wow. So I want to go back to the dating app too. I know many people, they go back and forth and they have the emails and they have the phone calls and they meet in person and it doesn't work. So, the chemistry.
Yes.
So, again, I think you kind of talked about it in the beginning, but let's bring it back around again to that, I don't know, again, just that lushness of who you are and how that can be exuded. So you mentioned the BO quote, but I think that goes the other way too.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's good that you're attracting it. So let's talk about those, you know, the importance of chemistry in-person meeting.
I think it's huge. I think I dated online. I actually dated someone that I met online for about a year and a half. And definitely in person, we'd already spoken on the phone. So I really think, yes, speak to them on the phone, maybe do a FaceTime. You know, when you meet in person, that chemistry, you'll either have it or you won't.
Right. You still need to have that.
Yeah. You definitely need to have it for sure.
So let's, I have a very good friend who once told me, and this was a while back, this is before online dating, this is before probably cell phones or any of it. She said that when she went out on dates, that she didn't ever want to have a meal. She's like, I will only go for a tea or perhaps a wine, but never food. So
what was her reason for that?
She thought it was a little bit, when she was first getting to know somebody, you know, especially first date, she didn't think it was right. I think she really based it on energetics, because you're nervous, you don't know, and maybe you want the quick exit. But I thought it was very specific, because we tend to sit down and do a meal, right? So anyway, she's very happily married right now, so it ended up working for her. So what would you tell people about what those first dates should look like?
I'm so glad you asked that, because I do coach a lot of single parents, and I really suggest a coffee date first, a lunch date, maybe brunch, something like that. So that, I think that there's two reasons specifically. One, it's short. You get to know this person, you know, physically, to get that sense of connection or chemistry, to see if you want to see them again. And there's a short time commitment. If you're doing coffee or something in the day and you're a single parent, you're not paying for a sitter, you're not fully investing in it. But then when you do go to that next level and you do have a dinner date, there's a little bit more of an expectation, right? What are you doing after dinner? Are you leaving right away? Are they going to give you a kiss? So I think when you initially, if you want to have a date with somebody and you go to dinner, there's sort of that standard protocol, right? Of, are they walking me to my car? Are they going to give me a kiss? So if you're doing that in the daytime, those kind of things are a little bit more off the table.
It's really true. I think I did most of my dating in New York City, so there wasn't really a walking to the car, maybe to a cab.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, I don't know. Don't get me started.
You could get away really quick.
Don't get me started. So I know exactly. Exactly. So you had to walk. So I wanted to say, do you look at movies or TV shows? I'm thinking about Sex and the City.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, that was 90s, right? 2000s? Yeah.
I think it was 90s and early 2000s.
Okay. Do you think that's a little harmful now? Do you look at it? Because, I mean, some of it is a little mean, talking about men and things like that. Or do you feel it's dated? And should we? I mean, I love that show, and it's funny. And I saw a lot of, you know, I used to joke that they stole my journals to write that show. So, but I feel like it's a little, it doesn't make sense for people to be seeing that right now when we're trying to evolve and be a kinder, I don't want to say necessarily gentler, but, you know, just more kindness and mindfulness towards each other. How do programs like that, or just as one example, do you feel, how are those relevant today?
That's a good question. I loved Sex and the City. I lived in New York for 15 years, so I definitely understood.
Although
a
I could
lot
have never walked in those shoes
never,
all over the place. Sorry,
especially in Soho and
exactly cobblestones.
Meatpacking? No, never. Definitely break an ankle, or just to the curb and in the cab. Yeah, I do think that so much of those, it's evolution, right? I mean, if you even look back further than that, you would see other shows that would be much more stereotypical. I do think we've evolved a lot since Sex and the City.
Okay. Yeah.
There's definitely other shows out there that are just, you know, a lot more tapped into energies and tapped into just experiences that people are having, and not just, you know, dwelling on the stereotypes. But I think what was great about Sex and the City is it was just at a great time. It was kind of a breakthrough show at the time.
Yes.
Because women were speaking about sex, and they were speaking about dating in a way that was sort of taboo and not really talked about, you know, openly. And I think that for women, I think it was a great breakthrough show in that way. Because it was like, oh, you can be fabulous. You can be all these things, and you can kind of talk about stuff. And it was kind of women talking about men the way traditionally men had talked about women.
Yeah, very
so
much.
The tables had really turned on that. But there are some other shows out there right now, and some of the titles are slipping my mind, but the images are coming up. I think one is called Sex Life right now, where this woman is married and she's, you know, reminiscing about a former, you know, partner that she had, and, you know, just all of the dilemmas and things. And I think that as we evolve as a population and as a society, we are just introducing other opportunities to explore emotions, explore feelings, explore things. And I think that the playing field is a lot more even now with regards to male, female, or just relationships in general. I think that I love the fact that we're able to watch experiences that maybe we didn't know we would appreciate or acknowledge. And just like you were talking about earlier in the show, is just, you know, educating people and just introducing other ideas and philosophies. And I think that I think it's shifting, and there's a lot of content out there that is just eye-opening for people in situations and dynamics that, you know, we maybe don't live in our regular lives.
Yeah, indeed. All right, well, I'm going to give you the floor here for the final moments and just say, you know, if there's anything you'd like to share with us in terms of working with you, just your hopes for people out there. I mean, I feel, I really am encouraged to see, you know, I made a note here. I wrote down the term divine masculine. Mm. And because I, you know, we hear the divine feminine, and I think women are very oriented towards that. But I really like to invite our gentlemen listeners to feel the same and just to tune in. There's a strength there, and we need each other. It's the yin and the yang. It's of it all. And so we need that balance. I really do often believe that in partnership, whether it's, you know, the female, actual female or male, or just the sensibilities. So wrap things up for us with love here and tell us a little bit more about, you know, working together and just a happy send off.
Thank you. I love that last piece that you were just talking about, the yin and the yang and the masculine, the divine masculine. Men can be masculine without being hard, and they can still be vulnerable, and they can still be open and loving and weak at times as well. I mean, women love to feel, right? So yeah. Men really stepping into that and feeling it. I do have an event coming up. It is an online event. It is a masterclass on November 11th. You can check out my website for that. It is called Becoming More Attractive by Balancing Your Masculine and Feminine Energies. So that's beautiful.
Perfect.
Yes, perfect. I do work one-on-one with clients. And as I mentioned before, I have a lot of content on my Instagram for just information, tips, things like that. Or you can subscribe to my website, Leanne Lazar Coaching, for more information, offers, and an upcoming membership.
Right on. That's really cool. Yeah. That's so great. Well, thank you for being here.
Thanks
so glad you
me.
Came in studio. It's really wonderful to see somebody because, again, you know, there's nothing like it. We've only had a few times. So, again, we're just trying to find these different ways to transform. So we really appreciate you listening. And I'm here with a new episode every Wednesday. Be sure to listen to The Minuteman Report with Robert Hensley on Mondays at 3. And Tony Sweet, live from the UBN studios here, Fridays at 3. I'm Bonnie Berker.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And I hope you feel fantastic. Until the next time, namaste.